From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of Faith Free Presbyterian Church, preaching Christ in all His fullness.
Welcome to this broadcast of Let the Bible Speak. In a moment, we'll hear from Dr. Alan Cairns, the Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina, as he continues a message on the theme of the glory of the cross. In John chapter 12, facing the horrible ordeal of the cross, the Lord Jesus reveals to his disciple his determination to carry out the will of his Father. Christ possessed a glory that was his by virtue of being God, but on Calvary he earned a glory that was his through what he suffered. Here we see the principle that suffering always precedes glory. First, in today's hot topic, we learn from a survey that Jesus ranks third as a role model.
In a recent opinion poll, British adults answered the question as to whom they would like their children to look up to. It says a lot for the moral and spiritual state of Britain today that Jesus ranked a lowly third behind family members and multimillionaire entrepreneur and daredevil Richard Branson. If the poll had been limited to adults under the age of 34, the results would have shown even greater, or should I say, the true level of moral and spiritual decline. I suppose that it's understandable that parents should like their children to emulate fathers and mothers, uncles and aunts, etc. And I can see that a flamboyant character such as Richard Branson would take the imagination. But it says a lot about a society when it overwhelmingly chooses such people as its role models over the Son of God himself. Richard Branson is rich, and our society worships material wealth. Millions define their personal worth and happiness by their financial success. It's conveniently forgotten that for most people to make a great deal of money in today's world, they have to flaunt the law of God and often have to wade through the pain and suffering of a multitude of little people who get in their way. Money at any cost seems to be many people's motto. That's why they play the lottery or engage in some other form of gambling. They call this easy money, but there's nothing easy about it. It comes at a terrible price. Jesus said, "A man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things that he possesseth." Branson has made himself a very likable and admired member of British society. He made a lot of money from homosexual bars in Europe, as well as from rock music. However nice he is, why any parent would want his children to emulate such a pattern of behaviour is beyond me. Others to gain a place in the 10 most popular role models were teachers, Nelson Mandela, Princess Diana, Winston Churchill, Martin Luther King, and Microsoft founder Bill Gates. There's a pattern here, and it's obvious. While intrepid leadership, such as that provided by Churchill in World War II, impressed enough people to merit a place in the top 10, I can't get away from the fact that so few people wanted their kids to be like the Lord Jesus Christ. Of course, this simply underscores the fact that Britain is no longer a Christian country. In fact, it's a multi-faith country, and many of its citizens have little or no time for Christ. It used to be that Britain sent missionaries to the world. It still does. But it has reached the place where it needs to have Christian missionaries sent to it. It needs the Christians who are there to start living and speaking as Christians, to carry the gospel to the heathen and to look to the Lord to bless the efforts they make. Salvation is of the Lord, but he did commission his disciples to go and preach the gospel. The sooner we get to spreading the gospel, the better. And to do that, we should live before men with the likeness of Christ. we should have no better role model than the blessed Son of God, who loved us and gave himself for us. The best witnesses for Christ are those who are most like him.
You're listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We want to say that we're greatly encouraged by the response of you, our listeners, to these broadcasts. We appreciate the letters, the emails, the phone calls that we've received from so many of you, some wanting to say thank you and telling us how much the Lord has blessed your heart with His Word, some speaking of life-changing experiences found through the preaching of the gospel. Some have written to ask for the literature that we offer here on the program. We want to remind you of the Let the Bible Speak audio magazine. This is in CD or cassette form and is similar in content to the Let the Bible Speak quarterly magazine, containing some of the articles of great spiritual interest as well as sacred music that will point you to the Lord Jesus Christ. You may have a copy of Let the Bible Speak audio magazine simply by writing to Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Again, that's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. You may email us at ltbs@freepres.org. That's ltbs@freepres.org. or you may telephone us toll-free at 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. Also, if you enjoy the program, you may like to join us on our website, Let the Bible Speak Radio, or ltbsradio.com. Don't forget that little word radio, ltbsradio.com. We hope to hear from you and that you'll join us on our website this week.
Various scriptures that link the suffering and with the glory. But there's always that order, the suffering and then the glory. That was true in the ministry of Christ. That's true, of course, throughout the purposes of God. You'll find that's true in the history of the Christian church. There's the suffering before there's the glory. The church has not entered into the fullness of God's purpose and plan and promise for it. And it will not, until it has dredged the depths of suffering. It's also true in the life of every Christian. You will never know the heights of glory unless you know the depths of suffering. You will find in every individual life, in the life of every great preacher, if you study the lives of great men of God, before there is the glory, before God could ever trust them with the glory, there is first the suffering, but supremely you see it in the life of the Lord Jesus. And so here we have him approaching the cross, the darkest hour that any man has ever endured upon the face of this earth. And he did so with confidence in God's word and with a certainty as to the outcome of his sufferings, so that now as he comes within the shadow of the cross, he speaks these amazing words: "The hour has come that the Son of Man should be glorified." I want us to think this morning very simply upon the glory of the cross. The first point is so simple that you may overlook it, and yet to me it is absolutely astonishing. The Lord Jesus gloried in the cross. Now put that in its context. This text is a response to a request made by some Greeks who had come up to the feast of the Passover. By Greeks, we're probably to understand
Gentile proselytes, people who had been converted to Judaism and were there for the feast. But these Greeks came to Philip, who went to Andrew, who told Jesus. They came with this request, "Sir, we would see Jesus." Now that is a beautiful statement as it stands in the Authorized Version. It's one of those statements that's far bigger than the context. It's one of those statements that you could lift right out and let it stand all on its own. And I would suggest that you do that for a moment and indeed make it the motto of your life. Here should be the prayer of every man and every woman and every child every time you read your Bible. Lord, we would see Jesus. Every time you come to pray, we would see Jesus. Every time you come to the house of God to hear the preaching of the Word, we would see Jesus. In the sufferings of life, let us see Jesus. In the triumphs of life, let us see Jesus. This is a wonderful petition. We would see Jesus. As they said it, they said simply, we desire to see Jesus. We desire to see Him. Horatius Bonner makes the remark that in the Gospels you have three ways of people seeking Jesus. You have Herod, and it's said of him that he wanted to see Him. He wanted to see who He was, and especially he wanted to see what He would do. He wanted to see Him and he wanted to hear Him. But Herod's seeking of Jesus was a curiosity that longed for sensation. There was no desire for Christ. There was no willingness to be humbled before Christ. This was the same man who heard John the Baptist gladly and then had him beheaded. There is the curiosity seeker. There is the sensation seeker. The Church of Christ is, let me rephrase that, churches around the country. There is a difference between gatherings and the Church of Christ. So I will rephrase. Churches around the country are filled with people who are there for a passing sensation. What can we see? What can we hear? What can we feel? What spine-tingling experience can we have? And there is little of Christ in it. It's a little bit like Herod. Then we read of Zacchaeus. His was something that no doubt started out with curiosity. But it went much beyond curiosity. Because when he couldn't see Jesus for the press, I always like Dr. Paisley's way of interpolating his comments there. And in his meetings when he'd have many reporters of the newspapers and the television and the radio people there, he would look down and say, and things haven't changed anyway, people still can't see the Lord because of the press. Well, obviously it's not that kind of press that we're reading about in the Gospel of Luke. Because of the crowd pressing in, he couldn't get to see. And then he went with determination that nothing's going to stop me from seeing the Lord Jesus. What a difference between that and Herod. And then, of course, you have the Greeks. And they come from afar. They come with passion. They open up their heart. They say, we desire to see Jesus. They went, of course, in their ignorance to Philip. Had they known the Lord a little better, they'd have been pleased to go straight to Him. And let me tell you, every time there's a Zacchaeus, or every time there's a case like the Greeks, the Lord Jesus will always answer and make Himself known. Where you've got a Herod, there's no answer. The Lord Jesus never did make himself known to Herod. And when finally, at the end of his life, he was sent by Pilate to Herod, and Herod thought that he had gained his purpose, it's interesting that the Lord Jesus, who was willing to bear a good confession before Pilate, the Roman governor, would not speak as much as a single syllable to Herod. The Lord Jesus is not in the business of dealing with hard-hearted, self-centered, sensation mongers. But thank God he is in the business of answering the cry of a heart that wants to see him. Jeremiah quoted the words of Jehovah in Jeremiah 29:13, "Ye shall seek me and find me when ye shall search for me with all your heart." The searching is not as if he's hard to find. It's simply saying that where there is an honest desire to see the Lord, he will be found. And in this case, when the Greeks came, the Lord Jesus responded, but he responded in a way that must have seemed rather strange to them, for we read he answered them, whether he answered the disciples who came to him, or whether, as I would tend to think, in their presence he answered the Greeks. "The hour has come that the Son of Man should be glorified." It's as if the Lord Jesus said, "You desire to see me, and so you shall. You've come to Jerusalem to celebrate the Passover, that annual feast that recalls the wondrous redemption of Israel out of Egypt. But I will show you a greater miracle and a more glorious redemption." It's as if Christ were saying to these Greeks, "You've come at the crucial hour, the moment to which the purpose of God and my entire ministry have been directed. You expected to see some outstanding miracle of power, something that you could talk about for the rest of your lives. Perhaps you've heard about the raising of Lazarus from the dead, and you want to see something similar. But you shall see my greatest glory, where you will see the glory of the cross." That Christ was contemplating the cross, and this is clear from the reference to the hour and from the reference of verse 27 to the troubling of his soul. It was undoubtedly the suffering of the cross that he was thinking about. And that's what makes this statement so amazing. See, throughout his ministry, and I hope that I have been able to emphasize and expound this to some extent over the last months or years. I can't remember how long we've been in these series of studies. But I hope that I've shown you how the Lord Jesus did reveal his glory at various times, in various ways, and to various degrees. And especially as we looked at the raising of Lazarus from the dead, you could not but see something of the mighty glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. He had revealed his glory in healing, in feeding, in calming storms, in raising the dead. He had revealed his glory in what he said as well as what he had done. But when he speaks of the great revelation of his glory, he points to his death. Now stop and think of that. This is how unnatural it sounds to human ears. You take up any orthodox book of systematic theology, and I encourage you to do that. People think that books of systematic theology are only for preachers. Don't you believe it? Now, of course, don't just read any book. There's some rubbish out there. But get a good systematic. And you'll discover something that when they come to deal with what's called Christology, the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ, they start the subject of the glorification of Christ with his resurrection. You take the Shorter Catechism, it does exactly the same thing. And for very good reason, because they see the cross as plumbing the depths of the humiliation of Christ. And after the humiliation, now starts the glory with the resurrection, then the ascension to the right hand of God, and then His coming back, His reign, and His eternal glory. That's the outline. We can understand that. But when the Lord Jesus Christ says, "Now the Son of Man will be glorified," He starts at the cross. He cannot and will not separate the cross from the empty tomb. He goes to the cross and He says, "This is the greatest manifestation of the glory of Christ on earth." The suffering, the accomplishment of Calvary. So Christ gloried in the cross.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope that you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of God, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, A New Beginning, a booklet that sets forth God's way of salvation in clear, concise, and biblical ways, you may have it free of charge simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-LTBS. That's 1-866-877-5827. You may email us at faithfpc@freepres.org. That's faithfpc@freepres.org. Also, we invite you to visit our website at www.freepres.org. If you would be interested in considering the establishment of a Free Presbyterian Church in your area, by all means, let us know. Once again, you may call us toll-free, 1-866-877-5827. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us once again as we let the Bible speak.